You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Ken. Thanks for being here. The federal government has raised the legal age to buy tobacco and vaping products to 21, up from 18. But the rub here is that without changes in Wisconsin laws, local law enforcement officers are not able to properly enforce the new mandate. And the laws on the books in Wisconsin say the minimum age to buy tobacco or vape products is 18. Do you support raising the age to 21? Would you rather see Wisconsin follow state law here? What questions do you have about e-cigarettes and access to paraphernalia? We're at 800-642-1234. Jenna Flynn is health educator at the Marathon County Health Department. She coordinates the Central Wisconsin Tobacco-Free Coalition. Jenna, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
Well, so this new federal law is different from current state law. So which tobacco law should Wisconsin be following right now?
So the new federal law raises the legal age to purchase tobacco from 18 to 21, and that means that it is effective immediately for all states, including Wisconsin, whether or not the state statute is updated or not.
How much power does local law enforcement have to really enforce the new federal tobacco law since Wisconsin doesn't have an updated age to 21?
Right now, the U.S. Federal Drug Administration, FDA, are the ones that are going to be responsible for the enforcement of the law. So that's really who's going to be in charge of enforcement until state statute is updated.
Are other states in the same situation as Wisconsin?
You know, it really depends on the state. Some states already updated their law to be tobacco 21 before the federal law passed. And some states have different rules in terms of what locals can enforce or not enforce. For example, some states can update their local ordinances very easily to allow local law enforcement to be able to enforce. Wisconsin just doesn't have that in place.
Well, Jenna, let's look at the retail level. If a retailer in Wisconsin is selling tobacco to someone underage now, what type of consequences could come with that?
So that is a that goes back to the FDA. So because they're the ultimate enforcement agency, we really don't know what their plans are in terms of enforcement. But we do know that they do have a program where there are inspectors throughout the state that monitor sales of tobacco products to minors or those under the age of 21 now in this case. So it's really up to them in terms of what their enforcement plan is at this time.
In Marathon County, where you are, some retailers have reached out to you because they're confused about whether to follow federal or state law. What concerns have they brought to your attention?
So ultimately, you know, at first when this law came out, it was confusing for retailers because all of a sudden, you know, they have to comply with a law that's effective immediately and they didn't, you know, get a lot of heads up with it. So we want to help them understand what that law is and what they need to do to comply. And a lot of the questions were around, like, when is it effective? And the answer goes back to that it was effective immediately as soon as President Trump signed it in.
So you recently sent out a mailer containing information on the new tobacco age to retailers in your area. What information did you convey there?
Yes. So the Central Wisconsin Tobacco Free Coalition sent out a mailer that included, like, frequently asked questions about tobacco 21. And I'm not sure if we'll talk about this, but the new flavor restriction law as well, just like a Q&A document. And then also visual images of what the restrictions are for the flavors in terms of products. Because ultimately, you know, retailers in Marathon County, and I think the majority of the state, want to follow the laws. They're not trying to break state statute or federal law or anything, but they need to be able to understand what the rules are. So that's where the frustration has been coming in, at least on our end, is just calls like, you know, coming from a place of concern of ultimately, you know, we want to follow the rules, but we don't know what to do type of thing.
We're talking with Jenna Flynn. She's health educator at the Marathon County Health Department, where she coordinates the Central Wisconsin Tobacco-Free Coalition. You can join in. Have you tried to buy tobacco products lately? Did the retailer enforce the 21 minimum age law from the federal government? Are you a retailer? Are you confused by the federal and state tobacco laws? Join in 800-642-1234. 1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Jenna, you had mentioned that 42% of high schoolers in Marathon County have attempted to quit smoking. That now includes that gray area between 18 and 21 who may already be addicted to smoking. In your opinion, what added support does there need to be for people right now, especially young people, around tobacco products?
So we know that nicotine is highly addictive, and unfortunately, a large majority of tobacco users start before the age of 18 and even before the age of 21. I have a statistic here that according to the National Survey on Drug Use and Health, 80% of adult smokers started before they turned 18, and nearly 95% started before the age of 21. So there's definitely a gap of people out there that do need resources to help quit their nicotine addiction, especially if they're unable to purchase the products. So here in Wisconsin, we have the Wisconsin Tobacco Quit Line, which is an excellent resource that anyone can access free of charge. If it is a minor, they have to be 13 years of age or older, but it's a great option for people that, if they're ready to quit or they're even thinking about it, they can talk to a quit coach, they can get a couple weeks of free medication, and they can work with this individual to try to ultimately quit.
Well, let's bring in a call now. Liam is joining us from Eau Claire this morning. Hi, Liam.
Hi.
What would you like to say?
I am in a class called documentary theater at my high school, and we are writing a performance that is based around the use of e-cigarettes and vape products. And it gives a lot of factual information while kind of encouraging people to stop. It centers around three characters who are in high school and kind of focuses on some of the problems with e-cigarettes and vaping.
Wow. Liam, what aspect of this performance are you a part of? Did you help write it? Are you acting?
I helped write it, and I may be acting in this performance. It's going to be kind of based in like a video format. We're going to do a couple videos around town in the school to kind of present this.
And what do you see among your friends in high school around vaping?
Last year, quite a few people did vape or use nicotine products, and I've seen it everywhere, in classrooms, in bathrooms, several places. But recently, since the sicknesses started getting worse and people started dying, a lot of people have actually quit, which has been very good.
Liam, thank you so much for calling in and sharing that the work on your high school's documentary. Jenna Flynn, Liam was seeing vaping everywhere, but the recent health scares have young people concerned.
Yes, and that's definitely a concern from our public health perspective as well. There's some misconceptions around that, and that a lot of people had said, well, these illnesses have only been related to products that people have made homemade, or they've only been related to products that have THC or marijuana in them. And that's just not true. According to the data that we do have, there has been some information that tells us that some of these products, some of the illnesses have been related to just plain nicotine. In fact, on Good Morning America recently, there was a story of a 17-year-old who received a double lung transplant due to vaping. And he spoke out about that recently.
Jenna Flynn is the Marathon County Health Department's health educator. We're talking about tobacco products and e-cigarettes. Have you tried to buy tobacco products recently? Did the retailer enforce the 18 or 21 minimum age law? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Jenna Flynn here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're talking about access to tobacco and e-cigarettes. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Wisconsin Chiefs of Police Association sent a letter to state legislative leaders nearly 3 weeks ago asking for state laws to be changed to allow law enforcement to effectively enforce the new federal age minimum to buy tobacco and vaping products. Federal government raised the legal age to purchase tobacco and vaping products to 21. Wisconsin's minimum age stands at 18. Are you a retailer? Are you confused by the federal and state tobacco laws? What questions do you have? Have you put up new signage to reflect the federal law? Join in 800-642-1234. And Marathon County's health educator, Jenna Flynn, stays with us. She coordinates the Central Wisconsin Tobacco-Free Coalition. Let's go back to the phones now. Doug is joining us from Fontana this morning. Hi, Doug.
Good morning.
Good morning. What do you see out of these tobacco laws?
Well, I find the hypocrisy rich that our federal government can send our 18-year-olds to endless war in the Middle East, allow them to purchase handguns and assault rifles, yet they want to put a layer of law or government upon an 18, 19, 20-year-old, yet all the while claiming to be against a larger government. And by the way, I am opposed to any kind of tobacco product. If you're going to take it away from everyone.
Doug, thank you for the call. Jenna, you know, Doug is opposed there to this idea that the federal government is imposing restrictions at this younger age when they are able, the federal government is able to, have less restriction or more restrictions elsewhere. Jenna?
Yeah, thanks for calling in, Doug. So this is a topic that has come up often. And, you know, I've actually thought about it myself coming from a family of veterans that, that is a good point that, you know, there are people, folks that are fighting for our country that are 18. And yet, you know, this is something that addresses 21-year-olds and under. However, I will say that, to me, it does feel like comparing apples to oranges because, you know, this is a product that it's the number one cause of preventable death and disease. And unfortunately, veterans have been a population that has been historically targeted by tobacco companies in the past. So, you know, it's really looking at youth prevention and ultimately helping our youth and our younger people be healthier because, we want to prevent a whole new generation from becoming addicted to nicotine.
You had mentioned earlier the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, announcing it would ban the sale of fruit and mint flavored e-cigarette cartridges, and that includes pods or these pod-based systems. Can you describe for us what these are and what the FDA is banning?
Sure. So the flavor ban relates to pod-based systems and cartridges. So it only addresses these products. So, for example, a product similar to Juul takes pod-based cartridges. So those are the flavors that will be banned. So it does not address e-liquids that are actually in the e-liquid containers.
Okay.
So those, I mean, there's thousands of flavors out there. Those will not be addressed at this time. And then there's also an exemption of cartridges that are tobacco-flavored and menthol-flavored. And we know historically that menthol has been a very attractive flavor to some disparate populations that have been affected by tobacco. And I do want to add, too, that some of the actual devices that we've seen in the school districts, even here in Marathon County, that have been confiscated are still going to be out on the market. So it does not get at that either.
Let's bring in Rory now, joining us from Eau Claire. Hi, Rory.
Good morning.
Good morning. What would you like to share?
Yeah, I'm a registered nurse and nurse educator, and although I certainly support the need for more regulations regarding tobacco and vaping products, especially to minors, I feel that the federal legislation was rolled out far too suddenly and doesn't put in place any support for those currently addicted. I'm a mother of an addicted 20-year-old vapor. She's been turned away from buying vaping products here in Eau Claire, which is a good thing, but now she must either turn to unsupported withdrawal symptoms or solicit illegally obtained products from friends. My daughter suffers from anxiety and depression and became addicted to vaping products 2 years ago legally to help her cope with those symptoms. Now she's kind of caught in the middle of addiction and illegal use.
Rory, thank you for sharing your story. Jenna, what do those support systems look like, and how is the Department of Health Services working to educate families?
Yeah, thanks, Rory. That's a really important point that you bring up, and that's our concern as well as coordinators and coalitions across the state and the Department of Health Services. We want to be able to help because ultimately the users, the people with addictions, they're not the enemies, right? They're battling through this, and they want and need the supports to ultimately quit their nicotine addiction, and there's this gap. So like I said, going back to the quit line, I'm definitely an advocate for that, and I think that's a good starting point as our Wisconsin Tobacco Quit Line. And also for parents, especially for young users, there's a great resource on the Department of Health Services website. It's called the Tobacco is Changing Campaign. And this is a great way for parents and youth advocates to learn more about the products, know the issues, and learn how they can get involved. And then finally, ultimately what our local coalitions are doing is try to help raise awareness of what this means for local retailers and users, and be able to get them the resources that are available to us. But we are also very eager and waiting for some of those supports hopefully to come through too, because ultimately we want to help.
Let's bring in Kathy now, joining us from Baldwin. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. I'm wondering why they just don't shut down the whole vaping production until they figure this out. I'm guessing it's because Big Tobacco has enough money to stop that from happening.
Kathy, thanks for the call. Jenna, there have been more than 2,500 illnesses, over 50 deaths linked to vaping, according to the latest CDC data. What can be done?
So I cannot answer your question, Kathy, in terms of why this is still happening, because we know that people are getting sick. We know that people continue to be addicted. The bottom line is, too, is that, we know in Wisconsin that nearly 9 out of 10 Wisconsin youth wouldn't try these products if they were not flavored. So we have that information, and unfortunately, it's just out there. It's a product that's out there, and it keeps being sold. And there's a lot that has been done in Wisconsin related to tobacco prevention and control, but there's definitely more that we can do to address this epidemic.
Are you concerned, Jenna, that banning flavored e-cigarettes will make them more prevalent in non-regulated markets, in the black market?
I don't know the answer to that question. I'm not sure. But what I can tell you is that the majority of users that are using these devices, that are using the flavored products, are youth.
You're in schools a lot. You're talking to young people. What is vaping like in schools these days, and as young as middle schools?
So I alluded to this earlier in that the kids really aren't the enemy. A lot of them are using because it's a coping mechanism, just like with smoking. Many users gravitate towards tobacco use because it's a stress reliever. It's a coping mechanism. And what we're hearing from a lot of these school resource officers is that this is an issue that's affecting many different populations and cliques within the district. It's not just affecting the bad kids per se. It's affecting, the kids that are in AP classes, that are active, that are athletes, and the kids that are, struggling too. And what we're really worried about is the kiddos with the genetic predisposition to addiction, because we know that these products are really priming their brain for use of other substances and behavioral challenges later down the road.
How are these vaping products, e-cigarettes, marketed to the children, the kids?
Well, I have to talk about the flavors, Kate, because, again, we know that 9 out of 10 Wisconsin youth wouldn't try the products if they weren't flavored. So if we know that those products are attractive to youth, I'm not sure why they're still being marketed that way. There has been some points brought up, though, that adults like flavors too. And while that may be true, we know that the majority of young users like them as well.
What are coalitions around the state doing to address the use of tobacco and vaping products among teens?
So really, the coalitions across the state are working to increase health through education and advocacy, really creating a community environment that encourages tobacco and nicotine-free living. Our main job and goal is to really provide the people most affected by the issues the resources that they need to create a tobacco-free and nicotine-free life.
Jenna, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Kate. I really appreciate it.
Jenna Flynn is health educator at the Marathon County Health Department, where she coordinates the Central Wisconsin Tobacco-Free Coalition. If you need help to quit smoking, vaping, or other tobacco use, as Jenna referred to, call the Wisconsin Tobacco Quit Line. That number is 800-784-8669. Again, that's 800-784-8669. We also have a link to the Central Wisconsin Tobacco-Free Coalition on WPR.org/mornings. Coming up, we head to Iowa to unpack caucus night, gather your reaction about what happened. No results yet. Our guide is a columnist with the Gazette in Cedar Rapids. We'll be back after this news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.